We built this city on rock and roll.
Say you don't know. All right, welcome everyone to another session of Lean Local. This is the program where we do what we say in the title. We lean local into the greater Green Bay community. And there's just a lot going on here. And just thanks for your comments and for your emails regarding the primary candidates that we had on the last, 3 weeks. And you saw the election results on Wednesday or maybe Tuesday night. And it was interesting, right? I mean, I don't know if there are any surprises in your district or in the county or the city, but we're down to two candidates now for all the races, and we're going to invite them back. And first come, first serve, and we're going to say, look, we do our recordings on this day, and it airs on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. So we're excited about it. My questions when the candidates come back could be a little more direct. I was, you know, they're kind of softball, you know, why are you running? Tell me about yourself and what do you hope to accomplish. But there's some people coming here that have maybe made some votes that some of you don't like, and we'll question that and just say, why did you do that? And we're going to ask them, like, we really got to get into this whole thing. Like, how do you build consensus? I mean, people run and there's 12 people. Well, okay, you got this great idea. Well, if you don't get six other people to go with you, it's going nowhere. And we're going to talk about that with the candidates. I mean, they're all obviously good people, and, you know, God bless them for running for office. That's not an easy thing to do. But, you know, they have some great ideas, but, you know, how are you going to get those ideas over the goal line? So that'd be fun. And I hope you, and we'll do that. We have a very special guest today, but starting next week, next Sunday, we're going to be back to the candidates, and it's going to be interesting because there's some districts with, I mean, you can't lose. There's just two great candidates. And so that's going to be good to see. But, and then after that, of course, the election is first Tuesday in April. But then after that, we're going to move to a series on small businesses. Green Bay is doing okay with small businesses. And we've lost a few, as you read in the paper or you heard or you noticed, some of the restaurants and some of these businesses are struggling a little bit, yet other ones are doing quite well. And let's just find out, you know, what does it take? I mean, what's the secret sauce to a successful business? And I know a little bit about that. It's going to be fun to interview them, but let's move on to today. So today, this is great. I'm honored to be joined by the president and the CEO of the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation, Dennis Buehler. You probably know him. I mean, he's one of those guys that's kind of the face of all the good things that happen here in Green Bay. And he's led this foundation since 2017, and really just bringing the decades of nonprofit leadership experience and expanding its impact and its significance in the community. It's amazing. Wait, listen to this interview. It's amazing what his organization has accomplished. Under his leadership, the foundation more than doubled its granting and assets, developed initiatives like Give Big Green Bay. And that's coming up. We're going to talk about that, but not in the beginning here. I think it's best if we just kind of learn a little bit more about it. I think people have heard of the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation, but let's kind of get into it and see a little bit more of how it works. I know they help donors make charitable gifts and they award grants, but let's start at the beginning. Dennis, welcome.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here, Jim.
Glad you're here, man. So for those who may not be familiar, what exactly is the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation?
Well, community foundations are this extraordinary place. They've been around for about 110 years or so. Started actually in Cleveland. And it really was the idea of trying to create a collection of local trusts, donors, funds that could come together collectively under one administrative source and really use the power of that collective funding to affect change not only today, but long term in our community. So we really use the collective knowledge, energy, will of this community to distribute not only dollars, but understand the issues that are impacting our community. And how can we provide guidance to donors, to leaders, to others, to really distribute those dollars in effective ways? But it's not just under one management and under my leadership or my teams. It's not my private foundation. It's the community foundation. So we're governed by a board of directors, by multiple committees that are made up of representatives of this community that really help us understand these issues and provide guidance about where we can best leverage these important assets.
So community foundations have been around, you said, for over 100 years, but not that long here, right? 1991?
Yeah, that we were founded in 1991.
Tell us about that. I know you weren't the director or the president at that time, but like, can you take us back to that? Like,
yeah, I think it's a typical story of a lot of community foundations across the country. And in our state, we've got a lot of different community foundations that represent a geographic, area. And it was at the time, it was a group of community leaders that got together and really felt like, you know, we could take all of our individual efforts and our individual passions, and we could combine those and leverage that collectively. And they started with a very small amount. I think they raised their first $1 million fairly quickly into some endowed funds, and they gave out their first $50,000 grant in 1991. And it really just grew from there. It grew by working with donors, working with philanthropists, really combining those assets together to leverage that collective energy. And it's really just grown since then. So in the first 25 years.
It's amazing how it's grown. I mean, I've got some numbers in front of me, but go ahead.
The first 25 years, they had granted over $100 million to the community, either through their endowed assets or working with their donors in facilitating. What's interesting, in the last now about 8 years, we've granted now more than, granted more than another $150 million. So that has exponentially grown. As the awareness of tools that that community foundations can provide and really make an impact in the community. It just continues to grow more and more every day.
Wow. 50,000, now over 200 million. You kind of answered the question a little bit, but I just want to know a little bit more like how it's evolved. Like what was it? Was it a big corporation? Was it leadership, or was it, that's a lot of money. I mean, that's the kind of growth that, there's not a lot of businesses. And 1991 is not that long ago. Right. I mean, if you think about it, it's not that long ago. And to be where you are today, over those 30 years, was there a significant thing, or was it just, you know, continual growth?
Well, I think it's continual growth, but I also think the nature of philanthropy is changing a great deal. If you go back to the founding, that there were some prominent community leaders and prominent philanthropists in town who had the wisdom to come together and create this collective energy we call the Community Foundation. But it was a relatively small group of individuals and did a lot of good for a number of years. But I also think if you look at the early 90s going into the early 2000s and now to where we are now, you're seeing a democratization of philanthropy that's existing. And it's not just the highest net worth individuals or the biggest corporations that are making the impact that maybe we saw in the 70s or the 80s or into the early 90s. You're now seeing that democratization where so many people can participate in philanthropy, and community foundations are a great place to build tools to allow the broader community to come in and participate in important ways. I think sometimes the traditional view of philanthropy is I need to be this highest net worth individual to be able to make an impact. That's just not true. First of all, I think we have a strong belief that all of us are endowed to make an impact in some way, whether it's through our volunteerism, through our service, through the contributions we make in our church or to the shelter or to the education institution in small ways. Every act of goodness is an act of philanthropy. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to put tools in place that allow everyone to even take small contributions and leverage that as a part of our greater asset to make even a bigger impact. And I think that is a change in philanthropy that's happened over the last 25 and 30 years, allowing more and more and more people to get involved. And as philanthropy gets more complex, people are unsure about how to go about it. So coming to a community foundation is a great way to really understand how and where can I have an impact and use the resources and tools I have available to me, no matter the scale.
You know, I think people may still have the perception of how it started. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure everybody knows that it's for everyone, because it's no secret that these community foundations, I mean, the names on there were community leaders, big time. They own banks and a lot of land. And I think that's great that this has gone out. But if you look at that 30 years, Dennis, and it's, you said it's grown incrementally, or what's significant, 50,000 to 200 million. Was there something that changed, or was it, because it's like, oh my God, this really put us on a different trajectory?
Yeah, not to get too wonky about this, if you will, but I, you know, the Green Bay Community Foundation is on a fairly typical organizational path or development path, if you will. If you look at those first 25 years, it was started by those visionary, high net worth individuals who really had a great idea to do this. And it really took some time of using their influence and their ability to bring others to and really grow what they wanted to do over a period of time. And it evolved those first 25 years in meaningful ways. And then you sort of hit an inflection point in which the awareness of that work becomes more broadly known, mm-hmm. and you're welcoming more individuals into the process. You're creating greater awareness, and you do start to turn a corner a little bit in which your programs are welcoming more and more of the community, and you start to scale.
Yeah. I want to talk about, so that kind of touched on the income. I mean, mm-hmm. the revenue that comes in. Let's talk about, and then we got to go to a break in a few minutes here, but how does the foundation decide who receives funding? Because I know we're going to get to Give Big Green Bay, and you had to pick 50. I mean, there's got to be a couple thousand, or maybe not that many, but there's got to be.
Yeah, there are hundreds of really important nonprofits in our community serving every day. Hundreds of them, sure.
So, and I think a lot of people, the people who know who you are the people that are the nonprofits. Sure. And so they write you a letter, they come and see you or take you out to coffee, whatever we have to do. How do you decide?
Well, I think everything that we do, whether it's with donors who are looking to come to us to help them with their philanthropic services or nonprofits, everything starts with relationships. We have to understand what a donor is trying to achieve. How can we help achieve that? We have to sit down with nonprofits, with community leaders to understand what they're trying to do. And how do we understand where the gaps are in our community and who's filling those gaps and how can we work together in partnership to help resource that? I think it goes well beyond a simple just application. It really needs to start with a greater understanding of the issues and understanding how those are being solved. And then how does that translate up into an application and into the proper grant cycle, whether it's one of our endowed grant cycles, maybe it's connecting with one of our donors who has a passion for that work. A lot of our work is connecting, and it all starts with relationships. And I also think a deep and empathetic understanding of where the issues are, who's solving them, and the trust that we have that individuals can really help solve that with the resources that we have.
And those issues change.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the issues that we may have faced at the founding in 1991 are different than those we're facing today and will be different 20 years from now.
So you talked about, you got to select who's going to get, because it's limited resources, even though it's a lot of money. But just touch on this before we go to break here. The staff, the committees, board members, donors, who weighs in? Is it a vote and majority wins, or how does that
when work? We're thinking about grants themselves?
Yeah, I just think somebody comes in and, like you said, you build these relationships with, we got 50 nonprofits that are just a small portion of the nonprofits. How do you decide who gets the money? Who votes on it? Is it you?
Yeah, it's hard for me to answer that in a simple way, because there are so many different grant making tools that we have. If you think about, we have what we call field of interest grants or endowed grants. Those are committees that are made up of community representatives in which applications are being made. Our staff vets those. They go through a lot of due diligence. Recommendations are made to those committees. And the community committee is the one who really evaluates those and then makes a decision or a recommendation to our board about what they want to fund. That is really one channel of grant making. We also have our donor advised funds relationships or other families of funds in which we're helping them decide how and where they want to contribute.
Nice. Somebody may come in with a significant amount of cash and you will.
Yeah, they're just looking from clarity. You know, we're really interested in the world of education or arts and culture, the environment, but we just don't know how and where it can have the greatest impact. Our team might provide them some guidance and be able to help provide support in that, to ultimately the decision to make that grant.
No, that's awesome. Okay. All right, Aaron, we're going to be right back. We're talking with Dennis Buehler, as most of you know, and you know now, is the president and CEO of the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation, how they got the money, where they go. We're going to talk about more specific topics when we get back. We'll be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Welcome back, everyone, to Lean Local. Again, our in-studio guest is Dennis Buehler, who is the president and CEO of the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation. And this organization, you have to have this if you're going to have a successful community. And they've been around for a long time. We've been here in Green Bay with this foundation since 1991, which isn't really that long ago. You're my age. And it started off giving a $50,000 grant, which is a big deal. And now it's $200 million that they have, or actually $250. So it's pretty cool what's going on. We talked about where they get their money and how everyone is welcome to participate. And we're going to get to that a little bit more in our third segment when I talk about Give Big Green Bay. What I want to know kind of right now is you're the director. And I know people listen to this show who have kids, and there's also some kids, I shouldn't call them kids, that have young adults, and they are also young adults listening to our show. And I can guarantee you that because I teach at NWTC and they get extra credit for listening to the show. No, they don't. But I will say to them, tomorrow, on Thursday, I should say, okay, what do you guys think of the show? And, it's always interesting for them. But let's talk about you, Dennis, your personal journey. Kind of what drew you to the community philanthropy, right? Yeah. Wouldn't that be the umbrella?
Yeah, I'm a proud Green Bay resident, grew up here in the mid-80s, come from a family of service. My mother was a trauma nurse, and my father served in the Vietnam War and was in the healthcare industry for many, many, many years as well. And our whole family was a family of service. So service is something that's been embedded into our lives. But actually, when I left Green Bay, I went off and spent most of my career in arts and culture, producing professional theater and leading and building arts centers and working in arts and culture. And that journey led me to Milwaukee, to Florida. I lived on the West Coast for a period of time, but I was recruited to come back to Green Bay, my hometown, when the previous president, David Pampern, retired. And it was a great honor to be appointed to this. I'd spent my entire career in nonprofit, in service, in community leadership. And I think to be able to apply that learning and that understanding of almost 25 to 30 years of nonprofit work and apply that to the best practices of community leadership and community philanthropy here in my hometown is something that is really hard to measure. It carries a weight of it. These are the streets I ran on grew up near Military and Mason and that community over there. It was a great part of my life. And to be back and to be able to contribute to the health and vitality of the community is something that is a really terrific honor for me.
I love hearing those stories because they say a lot of, and I think even more so today, where people do move away. And I'm sure your parents weren't crazy about that. But on the other hand, look what you gained, right? I mean, that's just, it's okay. As long as they come back, I'm not there yet with my, I'm not sure they're coming back.
Well, they're coming back. I think I was so blessed to be able to have a career that I'm still amazed I was able to have to gain the experiences I did through producing theater, through the arts, through community arts, through nonprofit leadership in large metropolitan communities and small communities. The range of that experience and be able to come back and I think understand what nonprofits are going through every day, understand the challenges that they're faced, understanding what it means for a philanthropy and a nonprofit to sit down to the table together and really dig into the issues they're facing and how can together we solve an issue. What we're trying to do at the Community Foundation, and it's something I believe in really passionately, is how do you scrub the power dynamics that exist inside philanthropy? I have a resource, you need a resource that automatically sets up a power dynamic that we need to eliminate. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is sit down at the table and understand as community members, what is the issue that we're trying to solve? And with the resources that we both have available to us, not just financial or leadership, if you will, but also the resources that our nonprofits are bringing in the passion and commitment they have to solving that issue, how can we together do that better? And I think building that culture within a community foundation is incredibly important. And what I'm so proud of is we built a team, the foundation of staff members, of committee members who all really believe in that. And I think that's reflective of what we see in Green Bay, not just at the foundation, but what we see in our neighborhoods across this community too.
So let me ask you, I step off these questions I have here. And I just, you'd mentioned the community, the arts. How do you think we're doing as a community when it comes to the arts, not the infrastructure, not the crime. I get all that. Sure. I was very involved in the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and there's some communities that have a sustainable funding mechanism for the arts, right. And I think that's important. Of course, you know, my kids and they were all, that's what they did.
Yeah. The state of Wisconsin is challenged in the sense that I believe we're ranked 49th or maybe 50th in the country relates to funding for the arts.
Right.
We knew that clearly in Milwaukee. We see that up here in Green Bay as well. I do think it's a mistake from time to time to, when we think about the culture of a community, to try to compare that to other communities. And we have to understand what's the culture of Green Bay. It's certainly defined many times by the Green Bay Packers and in other large institutions, which is absolutely true. And we embrace that fully. But there's also amazing cultural opportunities that exist in our community that range from the largest organizations, like what's happening at the Widener Center for the Arts, to some of the smallest organizations that we see on Broadway or we see over on in downtown Green Bay, and how people are engaging in their culture, not just in the visual or performing arts, but their individual cultures too.
Love it.
And I think our ability to identify that and raise that up is really, really important. But I would admit, we have a long way to go. Yeah.
And to get them to feel part of that is going to keep them here.
Right.
I mean, it's not the job. Right. It is the job a little bit, but okay. Right. Hey, all right, we're going to go to a quick break here. We're with Dennis Buehler, the president and CEO of the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation. When we come back, we're going to talk about a big event where we can all participate, and it's called Give Big Green Bay. It's been going on for a few years. Dennis started it, and it's an awesome opportunity to be part of the community and help this organization get the right funding and help every division grow. All right, we're going to be right back. Back, everyone, to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, but more importantly, Lean Local with Dennis Buehler, the president and CEO of the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation. And we've been talking about how they got started, funding, how decisions are made on the resources. And I want to get to that before we get to the specifics of Give Big Green Bay. Urgent things come up. It's like, oh my God, this is, how does somebody get bumped? And then the other thing is that I think sometimes, I want to say this the right word, but sometimes a squeaky wheel gets the grease. And I think as managers, we got to kind of step back and see how the dots connect.
Yeah, we don't want to see people get quote unquote bumped. I'm very much the believer that philanthropy is not a zero sum game. Simply because we've attended to one issue, something else was bumped. They are limited resources, but our goal is to continue to expand that pie, expand the resources available so we can attend to those changing needs. A good example of that is 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, we launched both what we call an impact investing fund, as well as what we call the One Community Fund. These are new tools, the One Community One specifically, in which donors can contribute, becomes an unrestricted fund of dollars that our community impact team and our board can look at the community as we scan issues in the community. If we see an urgent issue that we believe needs to be resourced and catalyzed for impact relatively quickly, we can deploy dollars relatively quickly. Huh. We did that about 18 months ago. We've invested in school-based mental health, tenant and landlord success, as well as a number of other issues, childcare to allow mothers to get back into the workforce. Issues that we believe are critical to our community right now, ideas that are popping up to resolve those, and we can move quickly. That is a fund that had reached $1 million fairly quickly of donor contributions.
Yeah, those are big. Yeah. Talk about urgent issues.
Right, allowed us to get dollars out the door, which did not take away from other grant making that we were doing. It's simply expanding that and allowing us to get to not only our consistent grant making, but also respond to critical issues today. And I think that's what donors are looking for. They're looking for, give us a number of tools that will allow us to be able to participate in ways that are unique to us.
Cool. All right, so let's, you know, I wanted to have you on the show for some time, but here we are. And I think the timing on this, you coming in to talk to us, is you got a big event coming up that you actually started, which I think is like really cool, called Give Big Green Bay. It's an annual giving day. This year is, you know, I think people know, is from February 25th to the 26th, noon to noon. And a couple questions on that I have. One is, everybody knows about this. And I think that's really cool that everybody knows about it versus is that impact thing you talked about? I'm not sure everybody knows about it. I don't hurt your feelings, but everybody.
It's relatively new yet.
But everybody knows about Give Big Green Bay, and you've got 50 organizations that apply. I'm sure you had more than that apply, quite a few more, and then you vetted it. And thank you for picking the new community shelter, which is where I work. So, tell us about this program, and then I'm going to get into a few.
Yeah, and maybe one slight correction. While I was there at the beginning, it was really started by we both the Green Bay Packers and the foundation had some joint board members who had seen giving days in other parts of the country and thought, why couldn't this work here? And one of my very first days I arrived in 2017, was over and met with Mark Murphy and Ed Policy and the team. And we kicked around this idea of what could we do with a giving day here in Green Bay. We felt there was great potential, not only leveraging the Green Bay Packers and their brand and their reach, but also the expertise and the knowledge that the foundation brought. Using those two platforms and bringing that together, we felt there was a unique opportunity to really amplify the important work that nonprofits are doing. And I think in other giving days, we've seen them as general signups, kind of like a Giving Tuesday, and pretty much anyone can sign up. We felt like if we constrained this to a smaller group of nonprofits that represented the broad range of work that was happening in the community, our two platforms allowed them to tell their stories in powerful ways. And the ultimate goal is certainly we want to bring in new dollars and resource the organizations, but the ultimate goal is not only to amplify that work, but also to connect people with it and their passion so they might be able to continue to serve with that beyond the day.
And I think, you know, at your press conference that you had, Chris was there, you talked about the money, and the money's important, right? We all as nonprofits need money, but to increase our list of donors, that's really good.
Yeah,
it's not the only fundraiser we do.
It's lifeblood of these nonprofits to be able to do their work. Yeah. And we hear from donors all the time, I just don't know. You know, there's so much work going on in the community. I just don't know what's happening. Can you just share what's happening? And I think for the Packers and the foundation to come together and use our collective voice to share the work of these nonprofits is what's so powerful. And we hear time and time and time again, I just didn't know that was happening. And I'm so grateful to be connected. And while the numbers that we've raised in unrestricted dollars, which 100% of those dollars go to the nonprofits, what's even more impressive to us is that on average, overall, so far 8 years, over 40% of the people who give to a nonprofit have been new to that nonprofit.
Right.
And that has been pretty consistent the entire 8 years so far, going to our ninth year. And I think that is what's so incredible, is that people are finding these nonprofits, whether it's the nonprofit people know about that has a lot of reach, or it's that small emerging nonprofit that people are just starting to become aware of. We want to platform those in an equal way to really share the incredible story of what's happening here in Green Bay.
I just love the diversity of the 50 nonprofits that you selected, and that's your board, or you, I just, you know, you go from pets to just everything, homeless.
Yeah, there's about 11 different fields of interest.
Yes,
they cut across a wide range. It ranges from arts and culture to animal welfare to environment to social services and youth development, education, et cetera. That was really important to us. And I think within those categories, we wanted to both share both the smallest and largest groups. And every single year we change it up. So this year we have, I think, over 25% of the organizations are new again this year. Yeah. People kind of ask us all the time, how do you select the organizations? First of all, they have to apply and express their interest. And this year we had over 200 applications.
Really?
Or almost 200 applications.
Yeah.
And our team does an incredible job of researching and studying everyone. And it's about kind of creating a puzzle of what really represents that social impact and fabric of this community. And in a way that we can really share and get people excited about these incredible organizations that have chosen service over themselves to really impact people's lives. And I think when you go into our website, we encourage everyone to go to givebiggreenbay.org. You can learn about all 50 organizations and what they're doing. And I promise you, you're going to find something that moves your heart and you're really going to want to learn more about.
You've done a good job with the website, whoever put that together, because I go through this and I know a lot of people on here because of my last job. But the new ones just catches that they're either their title or it's like, what do they do again? And to read about that. And you know, I don't know. I don't have the resources to give to all 50, but it's nice to pick up a new one every year. You know, that's the way we kind of look at it at home.
Yeah, it is great. And it, I think the foundation, again, is a collection of relationships and understanding. So we know a lot of these groups when they're being, when they're coming online, and we're able to develop relationships with them, and then we're able to share them. So we're very fortunate to understand that. And we're very fortunate to be able to share those stories with the broader community. And it is great to see organizations that kind of come out of nowhere and suddenly are doing incredible things that people just weren't aware of. And I think it also opens up the conversation when some of these conversations can be pretty difficult because these organizations are dealing with really, really tough issues and trying to lift people up. And they're sometimes difficult to deal with or talk about. I think a program like this allows us to celebrate that. And I think open the door to a conversation, even when it's a difficult conversation, and get people access to how can I help with that particular issue that you're dealing with. And that's a good effect of this program.
I remember something we picked up, I mean, it was 2 or 3 years ago, but you read the title, Green Bay Paddle and Sail. I don't know if that's the title, but anyway, you think, really sailing? But then you read about what's behind it, teaching these kids that really have not been on the water, you know, maybe lower income, and you teach them some of the math behind sailing, but more importantly, appreciation for the water. I mean, we are so fortunate to have the natural resources we have here in Green Bay, and you got to appreciate that to take care of it.
Yeah, if you think, I mean, Green Bay Sailing Pound, not in this year, they were in previous years, Hands on Deck that's this year. If you think about organizations like the Isaac Walton League in this year, Green Bay Bicycle Collective, you're talking about an idea which, how do you engage people in getting people active and getting people engaged and what that means to their lives? And that's just as important as some of these critically important social service agencies that are doing incredible work as well. So every single organization is doing incredible work within their community. I think to be able to demonstrate the diversity of that across the entire county is something what's so special about this program.
Okay, so I want to drill down on this because it's coming up. Today's Sunday and this starts on Thursday. Or Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah. Wednesday to Thursday.
Wednesday to Thursday.
Noon to noon. So how do we participate? Is there any minimum gift? Is there any? Tell me how that
works. Sure. First of all, before Wednesday, as people are listening to this, we encourage people to go to givebiggreenbay.org, scan through the site. There's great photos and videos and stories. Learn about the organizations. And then when you'll be hearing about this and seeing it across the media all week, if you haven't seen it already, on Wednesday at noon, we have a big kickoff event down at Lambeau Field. We throw the big switch when the website essentially turns on, if you will. And people can begin giving immediately. You go to the website, that same website. You can select one or multiple organizations. Gifts are allowed as little as $5. You can give to one or multiple organizations. We have people who give a vast majority of gifts are those small gifts that mean so much, but we also have larger gifts too. Everything can be given through the website. It goes all the way through noon on Thursday. It allows us to capture a lot of different media markets, different schedules of people's work, et cetera, and allows people to stay engaged. And then at noon on Thursday, we shut it off. What is a lot of fun over that 24 hours, and we hear from businesses all the time, Dennis, we don't get any work done because people are watching the website and they're seeing like the scoreboard change and the number roll up, and it creates this momentum. And what's been interesting the last couple of years is as much work as my amazing staff is doing, the Packers contribute to it.
Right.
What's incredible is the momentum that's being created by all these nonprofits and the community and the media outlets who are promoting this. It's not anything I think we ever anticipated sitting in that conference room back in 2017 that we would have seen. And we were just kind of hoping to do something good. And the momentum that's been created and the energy around it has been really incredible to see.
And it's working. I mean, financially, you guys are hitting.
Yeah, it's working.
Pretty big numbers. And the Packers participate too. Let's give them a shout out.
Yeah, the Packers, they contribute $250,000 as part of our larger match pool. That really encourages people to give. Organizations, if they raise, let's say, 2% of the money for the day, they get 2% of the match pool. It's a proportionate matching for the day. The Green Bay Community Foundation contributes to all the operations. So we fund the entire operation, which is an equally big commitment. That allows 100% of every dollar that's given to go to that nonprofit. And we're so incredibly proud of that. So the financial commitment, both by the Packers, by the foundation, by, and as well as all other donors. We have other donors who contribute to the match pool as well, is really the energy that gets behind this that I think motivates people even more than the stories themselves.
Dennis, this is great. I mean, I think people have heard about you. I don't think people realize the impact that you have. It's organizations and the decisions are made by people who live here.
They're made by the community. I think we like it that we're sort of behind the screen a little bit, because it's really the work of these nonprofits. And we can't emphasize enough, outside of this day, contribute to the nonprofit that's important to you. Right. These nonprofits are doing such important work. That's where the impact is happening. And we really want to put an emphasis on that.
One more time, the website on Thursday at noon is
givebiggreenbay.org.
All right. Thank you to you, your organization, and really to all the great people here in Greater Green Bay. All right. We're going to be back with a little information on what's coming up in the next couple months. But we sure want to thank Dennis Buehler, President, CEO of the Greater Green Bay Foundation, for being here. And really thank you for what you've done, but really more importantly, what you're going to do.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
All right. Ben, we'll be right back. Everyone, to the last episode of Lean Local for today. Wasn't that interesting? That whole Greater Green Bay Community Foundation, how some people, they may not know all the needs in Green Bay. So people with maybe a lot of resources can go there and sit down and say, look, I would like this, and they'll teach you about it. And maybe this should be directed to hunger. This should be directed to homeless, or this should be directed to youth sports, anything. And they really coordinate all that. And I think Dennis does a great job. And I really want to stress to you this Give Big Green Bay. This is a cool day for Green Bay. And it's 24 hours. And if you can find two or three organizations, and I will give you $25, $50, or like you said, it's a $5 minimum donation. Or if you want to just pick one and go big on it. I mean, but whatever works for you is going to work for the community. I guarantee you that. Because again, someone who works for a nonprofit, every dollar is really important. I mean, say, well, you know, what's 20 bucks? 20 bucks is a lot. I mean, we can do a lot. And, you know, food's gotten expensive. Of course, you know, we feed, you know, serve a meal to 150 people every evening, rain, sleet, snow, COVID, Christmas, New Year's. I mean, we're just always there. And the community can rely on us for that. And again, we shelter 116 people too. And, get them out of homelessness. That is 100% our goal, and that's what we do. So there's just a lot of things that we can take a look at. And I'm grateful for the Community Foundation. We've got a great working relationship with them. See, before I wrap this up, I just want to thank our sponsors. I should have done this earlier, but I just find that Community Foundation pretty interesting. So, but let's just give another shout out to Nicolet Bank, right? They're super involved in the community, as you know. Matter of fact, I saw their CEO in church this morning. They love it here. They love Green Bay, and they're involved in a lot of things. And I just think it's important that if you're looking for a bank, or if you're going to take out a loan, or if you want to have someone do some financial management of your resources for you. This is the bank that, you know, their core values is to be real, be responsive, be personal, be memorable, and be entrepreneurial. And those of you who know me, I love the entrepreneur. And I think it's going to be great to have a bank like that really help you get started and really keep going. And also Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. These guys have been with us since day one. It's PellaWI.com. Again, this is an organization, a company here based in Greater Green Bay. Also have branches other places. You know, they're the ones who will come in and give you what you need in doors and windows, from style to quality to pricing programs they have. It's all there. And you just call, get an appointment, and they'll stop over at your house. And maybe you're not going to do everything at one time, but maybe you're going to do three windows a year, or you're just going to do the doors, two doors this year. But they'll work with you. It's a great long-term company. They've been around. But, you know, their products last. I can attest to that personally. We bought a house in Astor Park, paid more than we had, and then had Pella come in it was a 5-year program we put together with them, but we love it. I mean, it just keeps the heat in, the air conditioning in, and the noise out. And that's very cool. So those are two great companies, Nicolet, Pella. Just Google them and give them a look, if you would. That would mean a lot to me, and it would mean even more to them. So here we are. We had the primary elections on Tuesday, and it's now down in all those districts to two people. And that's interesting. And when you look at it, and did you think that was going to happen? Many of them have been on the show, interviewed them. And but now it goes on to the April election, right? First Tuesday in April, we elect the city council and the county board for Brown County. And there's 109 races on the ballot. We're just doing the, I'm focusing on some of the races on the city council and county board. I happen to know that the best, but we have to really look at the school board. I mean, you see what's going on there, and you like what's going on. You think some changes are needed, and I'll try and get some school board candidates on here as well. That's a goal of mine, because that's, everybody talks about, your tax bill. My taxes are too damn high. Well, the biggest percent out of the four things on your tax bill is the school. And we need to support schools. And schools are, that's our future right there. And these students who are there, think about it, some of them 5 years, some of them next year, some of them, you take these kids that are, in grade school in 10 years, they're going to be your workers, your police officers, your city workers, your private sector workers. So we really got to make sure we're on top of the school and what they're doing. But so what we've done, and you can let me know too, just gbjimschmidt.com. That's my email. Or you can use the Civic Media app and send an email to us, a message to us. But tell me if there's somebody you particularly want to talk to, or if there's an issue that you don't think is being addressed properly in this committee. I think I can do that, because I just know a little bit about everything, I think. And when people come in, and I'm really comfortable talking politics, I spent, 20 years in that world. So there's some things that I want to hear from them too. And like I talked about earlier in the show, this consensus building, I mean, you have to do that. You really got to get people on your side and sell the vision and be a leader. And so that's going to be interesting to talk to some people about that. And some people are one issue candidates, and let's respect them for that. Other people just want to make Green Bay, Brown County a better place. So any surprises with you, Kyle, on the elections? Did you win the pool?
No, I didn't do too well in the election, but it's all good.
It is. It is. It's all good. And I'm happy about that. Like I said, we sent invitations to all the candidates who have a race. And if they want to come on, it's first come, first serve. And, I hope they come on here, and we'll be very kind to them. We're going to do a little longer, a lot of time with 7.5 minutes. We can double it this time. So they'll all be on for 15 minutes. And if you have questions ahead of time, I'll be happy to ask them. If not, I have plenty of my own. So I really appreciate you listening. So we got the candidates coming up for the next, 6 weeks. After that, I'm going to move to a segment on small businesses and the successful ones, the ones that got challenged a little bit, but you learn a lot about the backbone of this community, and that's the business community. So thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. This has been Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.